כן, בעשה.
משה.
Okay, we'll say we're up to we're on page 2, question 10. Ha'im yicholim lo matli neged ha'shulchan aruch. They would say you have a machloikis in dine mominus, whether someone owes someone money. And the Shulchan Aruch says that you do. But could a person say that, but there's another shita that holds you don't, so and I'm following that shita, and therefore I don't have to give you the money. So that's a question whether you say kimli. Kimli means I want to follow that shita. So there's a piece here in the Sefer Tokfa Kohen. By the Shach. And then there's a parish of the Tumim on the Tokfa Kohen. So the Tumim writes on page 14. So he writes that if the Shulchan Aruch left out this shita, then you can't say you're following the shita. You can't say kimli. Ein lochosh lo vikim vikim luchach me ador lushmo lasos kol omer med beha kotzer shulchanor vagos rama. So you can't say, well, oh, there's another shita, so therefore I'm following that shita. That one second, the daiti ain't sofik, he kol kol b'chsa, and he says everything is, you know, hashkacha pratis, what was put in the Shulchan Aruch, what was not put in the Shulchan Aruch, everything on page 14, he says, "Daiti ain't sofik ki akol b'chsav yad Hashem eskil hadidom ki kushyos rabos shikshu lehem k'molchen kilu b'mesek ain't sofik shul kivnu l'akol ki eicha ya efshar rava malach malach ha-shamayim she'aleim mihu ha-geva she'yase gibor kibor akol ha-torah l'kuch mikol divay yishon yishon." He says, "Ruach Hashem notzo b'kibam liyos l'shonam chuvin l'alacha." So on page 14 here, packet Lamed Beis, that the Tumim is saying that someone can't say if there's a question, "Would you owe somebody money?" You don't owe somebody money, and the Shulchan Aruch says you owe the money, and but there's a shita rishon who say you don't owe the money, and so the Tum says you can't say. Sometimes you can follow a shita that's not the main shita, but if it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch that shita, so then it shows that ilu not. We don't give it enough credibility that you could say I'm following that shita, and therefore you. I don't have to pay the money. If it was a shita that was quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that's a different story. Even though maybe it's not the Iker shita. Yeah, Moshe.
Does he then say, just for the Shulchan Aruch, there's no such thing as a post or mishnah? There's no such thing as missing the favor. He didn't miss it. He had a Ruach HaKodesh left it out. Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, Ruach Hashem nozim kimel yos l'shona, right, kuvel halacha.
Is he saying in the
Shulchan Aruch, even let's say in the Beis Yosef, the Rebbe Zakara left a lot, had a lot more shitas than he did when he transferred over to Shulchan Aruch. So do we assume that anything that he was quoted in any of his sarim, like if he quoted the Beis Yosef, he said a far off opinion, would that be enough, even if he doesn't move it, say as well in the Shulchan Aruch, like so that he gave it value at some point according to this idea? Only in the Shulchan Aruch,
Make the second round of cuts, right? And then he gives a story. He tells a story on page 15. The Tumim tells a story that when his father-in-law died, so he gave all his inheritance. He said who he wants that Matna Shkibira, it should go to so and so. So then he died. So then his son said that maybe we should follow the Ravid's opinion that says that. Say somebody owed him money, was going to pay him money. So who gets that money? And then the father died. Does it go to the person who he gave as a matana his nechassim? Or maybe mil valpeh, you don't have a concept of matna shechiv mira. Because that halacha is not in the Shulchan Aruch, that opinion of the Ravid. So you can't say that I that what? So what do they tell him? That he can't get the money. In other words, what did they pass? That what? That he can't say I follow that sheet of the Ravid that says that the money that was coming in to him from Milva, that is not. That doesn't count in the matana of the shechiv mira that he gave to somebody else. So he says it's not true. You have to give all the money away to the guy who he gave the matana for, because since that opinion was not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, so you can't say kimli. Kimli means I want to follow a shita that's not the mainstream shita, and not have to pay money So the Tumim say that's only if it's a shita that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, even though it's maybe the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really follow that shita. It's not the main shita in the Shulchan Aruch, but at least it's quoted. But if it's not even quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, then not. Okay, that's number 10. Number 11. Ten divrei Chazon Ish. Bimkoach harov v'inyan motzias kisvei yad b'zman hazeh. So the Chazon Ish on page 16 discusses that there's a concept of following the Rov. Right, so he says, and we saw this in the Rashba, that Rov only means if everyone got together in a room and discussed it, the issues, and then we take a vote. So whoever wins the vote, that's the Rov. But if there was never a meeting, in other words, it happens to be that if you look at all the different Svarim out there, you'll see what the Rov, that's not a Din Rov. That's not a Din Rov, because the people In other words, I wrote a sefer and you wrote a sefer and the other guy wrote a sefer, and now we look at all the sfarim, 10 sfarim say one way and one sefer says the other way. So, oh, the rov. No, that's not a rov. Rov means that people were together, and like we saw in the Tshuvas HaRashba, right? That you have to be together and deliberate, and then you take a vote, and that's the rov. But if there was never a kinas chachamim, then that's not a rov. One second. And so therefore, he says, it's not going to make a difference, say that we have all these kisvei yad, right? We find more Rishonim in the Vatican, in the Gniza, in the Chais. So he says, that's not going to change the psak, because even if we can find more shitas that say one way, that's not a din rov, because the rov is only when the people in conflict met together. That's why they say, they ask the Chazon Ish what they should do with all this kisvei yad in the Gniza, so he's supposedly, his response is just leave it there, you know. But that shouldn't change it. The Avnei Nezer says differently. The Avnei Nezer a lot of times says that if the Shulchan Aruch would have seen this Rishon or this thing, he might have paskened differently. And if he would have had this Ksav Yad, he would have said differently. The Avnei Nezer says like that.
But, those
yeah, so then, yeah, he might.
It's not like he's
going to
say he would have passed him like that, but since he didn't have it, we're not
going to. No, if you look at the Avnei Nezer. So that's what question 11, Ten Divrei HaChazon Ish in Koach HaRov. Says Koach HaRov is only when the people were together and deliberated together, not just counting shitas of disparate opinions that never met.
Meeting, or like, let's say they saw the other Rav Sefer. Is that really what we're saying? So assuming there wasn't sort of meeting of the minds, as these were commonly seen svarim, so we would assume that everybody had access to that.
Maybe. I think he means really meeting, because meeting, when we meet, then we can convince each other. In other words, it could be one sefer said this, but if I would have told him my svarim, he might not have said that. So therefore, the fact that he has an opinion against me is not called a rove, because it's only if we discussed it and you understand where I'm coming from and I understand where you're coming from, and we're honest. First, the assumption is you have to be honest. You have to be intellectually honest.
But the point of Chazon Ish is there's never going to be, because this idea is almost impossible.
Yeah.
Actually, come to fruition.
Yeah. That's a different thing. We're talking about a rove of a Bezdin type rove. In other words, a rove of Bittel Barov, that's different. No, because there's a difference between people and pieces of meat. Pieces of meat, they're not changing their mind. They are who they are. People have minds. And when you have a mind of, and you have a discussion, and you're honest, you see, the assumption is that all the people are obviously the Rishonim, Achronim, or the real Gedolim are honest people. People are not honest are really not from the Gedolim. Right, you have to be an honest person and willing to say, oh, you know what you said that I didn't think of. And now I'm going to change my mind because I think you made a very valid point. Oh, we'll get to that. We're going to get to that too. We'll get to that. And
square brackets or something that I as a Makia put it. That's why I was going to say it's not the Chazanish.
Yeah, who told you that?
No one told me about it regarding this text.
I don't know. I would assume everything in the Chazanish is from the Chazanish. Why do they have square brackets? There's parentheses. Does he have square brackets and non-square brackets in the Chazon Ish?
Well, I'm asking you, so...
I never heard of such a thing in the Chazon Ish that there's a difference. In other Sfarim, they say that sometimes round brackets are taken out as a mistake, and square brackets are an insertion in other places. But in the Chazon Ish, I've never heard. I think it could be that that's his way of making parentheses. Okay. 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 Number 12. Tain divrei ha-birka Yosef. Should I put this in? The birka Yosef here is on page 8 and 9. So he writes on the bottom of page 8. Vata emes agad sheshamati mipum rabbanu kadishi shomu pi rav gadol v'reinu v'chaim abulafya shekibel mizikne ga'one dor sheskimu b'chlal zed demaron korov la'masayim rabbanim midoro kachay omer kiko kashe yase psach maron avid kemosin rabbanon elu. That what? What does that mean? That he was accepted by like 100 Rabbanim. Like 200 Rabbanim. Meresh. The Maran Krav L'Masayim. Meresh is 200. Meresh. Masayim Rabbanim Nismach. That Maran stands for Meresh Rabbanim Nismach. That what? He was accepted by 200 Rabbanim. So that means there was a certain acceptance of in his generation. So he says, and he says, so that was the acceptance of the opinions of Rav Yosef Karo, Meresh Rabbanim Nismach, Meresh Rabbanim Nismach from 200 Rabbanim. So if you look in the Beis Yosef, in the Hakdama, he explains what the point of his Sefer was. He says, first the point of his Sefer Beis Yosef. So he says he wanted to collect all the opinions, because it's difficult to to get all the opinions together. So he wrote the Beis Yosef, he collected all the different shitas with all, and he was going to really write it on the Rambam originally. In other words, who was going to be his, because Beis Yosef is written on the Tor, right? We look at the Beis Yosef all the time. There's the Tor, and the Beis Yosef is a commentary on the Tor. So why did he do it on the Tor? Why didn't he do it on the Rambam? Because the Tor already quotes 2-3 opinions. So then he has to add in the 1 or 2 opinions more. Doesn't have to do so. But the Rambam is only his opinion. It's only one opinion. So then he'll have to write much more. They add in 4 more opinions. The Tor usually quotes 3-4 opinions, as it is. So then the 2-3 opinions he didn't quote, the Beis Yosef will corroborate. But the Rambam only has one opinion. So if he's going to make his parish around the Rambam, then he's going to have to make it much longer. So he says, no point in making a new sefer, because people already wrote halachic compendiums before him. So take already a pre-existing halachic compendium, and then just add on the things that he didn't put in or came later. So he had a choice. He could either do the Rambam or the Tor to be the sefer that he's going to put his parish around. So he chose, so originally he said he was going to do the Rambam. Because he was the big posik. And then Chazarti bi. And he says, no, he's not going to do it on the Rambam. He's going to do it on the Tor. And then he's going to collect all the shitas. And then after that, he should come out with a psak halacha. It shouldn't be, so Klal Yisrael will have one psak halacha. And then he decided that he's going to use the Rambam, the Riff, and the Rosh. So that's, that was the point of the Beis Yosef, was to have all the opinions. And all the sources. And the Ramah, he also wrote a Hakdama of what his point was. He wrote the Darkei Moshe, and he was going to also write what? He wanted to write more Bekitzer, right? Yeah, he wanted to write, as Rabbi Fremis is saying, he wanted to write more Bekitzer, but more opinions. He says, "Kol makom b'derech haRama v'atur shonu l'tamadei b'derech tzara darachti." So he had more opinions, but he'd write it more, less verbose. Right, and his opinion was to follow the latter, to paskin like not the paskin like the Rambam, the Rif Rosh, but the paskin like the Trumas Hadesh and the Marik and the latter Shitas. Well, not for the Ramah, not for... Maybe for you. Maybe
for us, though. Wouldn't we use, like, the...
No, but the
Ramah... It's kind of like the... Like a Bishon. It is the Basra of the Bishon.
Right, but yet... Yeah. Yeah, but the... But he didn't accept that. But he didn't accept that, the Ramah, that idea. Because or else he wouldn't. So because he puts in that no, but the Truman said that like he says we're nohag differently. Like we had a like in Yoredeya today, whether you count, in other words, he paskin like the mechaber paskin one way, like the smock, and then the Truman said that, but the Truman Sadeshin said differently. Only one kaf, right? And then the Rambam says no, I'll give him like the Truman Sadeshin. Okay, page 3, question 14. Tein divrei Amar Shah. So the Gemara says in Sota on page 18. That morim halacha b'toch mishnosim, that it's a bad thing to paskin from the Mishnah. Because if you just the Mishnah, you don't know the whole background, Rashi says. You don't know the reason, you don't understand it. So that's what the Marsha writes, that the same thing applies also Shemorin Halacha Mitoch Shulchan Aruch. Right? If you just paskin from the Shulchan Aruch, that's a bad thing. Because if you just paskin from the Shulchan Aruch, then you don't know the whole background. You don't know the whole background. So in order, that's why when I teach Yoredeya, we don't start with the Shulchan Aruch, we end with the Shulchan Aruch. Whenever we learn here also. We always see the Gemara, the Rishonim, and then the Shulchan Aruch is the last stop. You see, the reason why when people start learning Shulchan Aruch, a lot of people don't enjoy it, is because they start with the Shulchan Aruch. So you start with the Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to understand anything. Because it's going to be very choppy. You're not going to have a... But if this, like Rav Lifshitz says, first you have to learn the whole sugya with the Rishonim, and then the Shulchan Aruch. Everything you learned, two lines of the Shulchan Aruch is going to summarize how he concluded. But you don't appreciate it unless you see... That's why a lot of people, when they learn halacha, they don't see the whole sugya. That's why some people, I think Rav Lichtenstein and Dr. Lamb, they like the Aruch HaShulchan more than the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, they're both, because the Aruch HaShulchan, he gives you the sugya. He starts with the Gemara, the Rishonim, he gives you, like Dr. Lamb, Rav Lichtenstein pointed out, he gives you the sugya. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't give you the sugya as much. He gives you the poskim, the later poskim. But in terms of getting an understanding, you can get a better understanding when you look at the Aruch HaShulchan and you see how the whole sugya develops. That's what we do in the packets. We give you the whole sugya, and the reason why some people go to smicha, they just open up a Yoredeya. They never learned chulin before. They never learned the sugyas. They never learned anything. They start with the Shulchan Aruch, so it's boring. And it's not understandable, and they can't stand it. They can't wait to finish. But if you do it the other way, then you won't want to end because it's.
For example, when I reach a problem, I see a case, and I apply it to specific problem. Then I can
Well, you have to do it to because you won't understand. Well, what is he trying to? He's saying this. What is a lafuke? What is it? I would have to show you an example of doing it the other way to show you what it means. But we don't do it that way, so. Yeah. So the Marsha saying is he shouldn't paskin just by opening up a Shulchan Aruch because you won't understand, you won't get the full understanding. And you only get the
it seems that the Gemara is talking about the very beginning of making a psalm, and the Shulchan Aruch is the very end. I understand right. Anytime you learn a Dabar Masuyo,
yeah.
You want to extrapolate from it to
another case. Like what we did today. Like if you right.
There is a difference. It's
right.
When you deal with Shulchan, you deal with
yeah.
If you deal with the Mishnah,
like you won't understand. Like when we sit today in Yerodea, what's the difference between putting the spoon in twice or keeping it in longer? You won't understand that difference if you just saw the Shulchan Aruch, because you don't understand that it's based on the idea of Kli Rishon. You know that whole discussion, right? You wouldn't understand why there should be a difference. You would say, okay, putting in twice is the same thing as keeping it in longer, you would say. I mean, if you didn't hear or not my Herodesh here, now you won't understand what I'm talking about, but he was there. So I'll just answer to him. Okay, but more examples. Okay, number 15. Ten divrei atosis bava kama regel rov bedinei momenus. So, tosis and bava kama as the Yisod, the Gemara in Bava Kama says, "Ein holchim b'mamon achar harov." So, what does that mean? So a classic example is like this: say, I sold you an animal, right? And you paid for the animal, right? And the animal is like the most wild animal. You know, it's crazy. Can't deal with it. So you want to say, I should get my money back because I wanted to get a normal animal. You gave me a crazy animal. Right? So what does he say? Give me my money back. So the guy says, no, I thought you were buying the animal because you wanted a shechter and eat it. So once it's shechter, it doesn't matter that it's a wild animal because you're shechting. And the other guy said, no, I bought it to plow. So therefore, I want a normal animal. So who wins? So the Gemara says, well, maybe we should follow what do most people buy the animal for? Do most people buy the animal to plow, or do most people buy the animal to shecht? So the Gemara says no, because ein holchim b'mamon achar harov. So even though you could say, well, most people buy it to plow, so therefore I want my money back because it's not a house, because it's a wild animal. When we say, even though most people buy it to say to plow, in other words, follow, but there are people who buy it to chef, so I can say, I thought you were buying it to chef, and therefore even though it's wild, I didn't have to tell you because we're planning to kill it the next day anyway. So that's the klal of Ein Holchim B'Mamon Acharov. So Tosis, yes, Kasha, but what about by Bezdin? But we have an argument of who owes who money. So we go to the Bezdin, and the Bezdin has three dayonim, and then they take a vote, and it's 2-1. So the guy who gets two votes wins. But he only has a rov. So why should he win? But Ein Holchim B'Mamon Acharov. I thought Rov was not good enough. So Tosa says that by Bezdin is different. Because Bezdin, the way it works is that you take a vote, right? So say 2-3. 2-1 vote. But in the end, the Psak now is coming from the whole Bezdin. So you don't say that the Psak is only from two people. Now, the whole Bezdin is like the Rov. The Rov is Machria on the whole Bezdin. So that's what Tosa says in Baba Kamina. So what does this have to do with what we're talking about here? So Rav Avadia Yosef discusses on page 21
it's not a road anymore, it's the whole base.
Now it's the whole base. In other words, the rove is what was koveya in the halacha, but once the halacha is koveya, now it's I'll pee the whole bezdin. That's what Reb Chaim says, that by a bezdin you say rubo kakulo. That once you have rove, so now it's rubo kakulo, now the psak is not just coming from the two dayanim, it's coming from all three dayanim.
So it's just a matter of, in practicality, it started off rove.
Right.
It's just a matter of
two steps.
Yeah,
but by other things, but if you didn't even. But when you're doing Ein Ochim Mamonach Rov, you don't have those two steps. So then it's only a Rov. If it's only a Rov, and the idea is because the Bezdin, like we said before, the Bezdin all got together and convened and discussed it. So you had the three Dayanim all discussing it. So then you have a concept of Rov. And by a Bezdin, then you say Rubo Kukulo. So now, Rav Avadia Yosef here on page 21, here discusses the Beis Yosef's approach. Again, the Beis Yosef's approach is that he paskins only like the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. Except if it's against the Minog, and except, like Rabbi Ephraim has pointed out, if against the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh don't speak about this topic, and then someone else does, then he'll sometimes paskin like that someone else, even though the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh could argue with it, but they never didn't speak about the topic. So that's why Rabbi Fremis wanted to say pshat why the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Bahag by Sfira Sa'omer, that if you miss a day, because only the Bahag talked about it. But it could be that, I don't know, maybe there's different, I don't know. Okay. So, So this is the Rav Avadia Yosef's point. So people asked against Rav Avadia Yosef, against the Mechaber, like the Ramah, why did you just paskin like the Ram and the Riff of the Rush? But there are dozen other poskim. There's the Marik and the Trumas Hadeshin and all these things, you know, we've all seen them in packets here and there, right? So Rav Avadia Yosef says very well. He says, but anyway, these people didn't speak to each other. So you're saying, well, we should follow, you know, the majority of the Shitas. But it's not a majority anyway if they didn't speak. So even though I'm not including all the opinions, but they never convened. They were in different times, different places, different generations. So it doesn't make a difference that I'm not including them because you're saying I'm not following the rove, but there's no din rove here anyway, because if the people didn't speak, there's no rove. So I can decide I want to choose the Rambam, the Riff, and the Rosh for whatever reason. We'll discuss what the reason is. It's the same concept. Because there's no kind. Because even if we would take the other people into account, it's not really a din of rove anyway. So it's like the Ramah's no better. So he decided now. So why did he decide that? So there are different opinions here. So there's an article written by Rabbi Avram Sherman that wants to say that that was the minhag in the communities was to follow these shitas. So since this was the minhag, you know, this was the mekubal, and I guess in his time, so that's why he used those. So that's what, and he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel. That's the answer on question 17. The Rambam b'nogel kviyas shnas haShmita. He says, you know, there's a question: which year is the Shmita year? You know, it can be, so how do we know? You know, you have to go all the way back from, you know, when the original calculation. So he uses a lashon. Shakabala v'hamaisa amudim gedolim hara v'hem roy litlos. In other words, what were people doing? The minhag. The minhag that people were keeping this year as the Shemitah, so that's it. So that's what Rabbi Sherman says in question 18. That's why the Beis Yosef followed the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh.
In other words, maybe the Marik was also great, maybe, but this was the these were the people that the Minhag Yisrael was to follow.
Beis Yosef say, I think that you can that being the case, and B, what about all the Ashkenaz quotes in Rishonim that quote different sheets, different halakhot? When the Shmuzesh quotes the Minhag Olam, that's not what the Rosh of the Shulchan Aruch brings, that's not what those three men said. And people would say that this is the Minhag Yisrael, the Minhag Yisrael where the Rambam Rosh and the Rif were.
Right. Right. He said, "Nidum ho 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 ho. You know, did you say, like, you know, the Chazon Ish made a big thing. He said that, you know, Japan, you keep Shabbos on Sunday. Even though people didn't keep Shabbos on Sunday. But he said that, so others, like Mordechai Tellis and Moshe Feinstein said, you follow the minhag. My father told me, when my father was in Japan, my father was in the Korean War. And they would go on the day off. My father told me they would go on a day off. They would give them like a day off for in service, so they'd take them to Japan, like, you know, shopping their face. You know, that was the day off to go to Japan. They said that you know, people kept Shabbos on Saturday. Chazon Ish, he made this thing based on Rishonim, but he was willing to say no. Mathematically, he thinks it's Sunday, and that's it. So that was a big chiddush. He had a very strong shita about that. Right, most people know. I don't tell people to unless they want to be machmir, but to follow some people. You know, Chazon Ish, like Rav Shechter, Vladi, whatever, just Chazon Ish, and that's it. So it's like Rabbi Schwartz told me, he follows Rav Shechter, so he someone went to Japan, he told him, keep Shabbos on Sunday. So
Sunday,
like
Shabbos? Sunday, like Saturday, or
so, yeah, so unless the Chazon Ish maybe told it to me directly, you know, then maybe it would be different. But the Chazon Ish, you know, he told the Mir Yeshiva, the whole world was going to fast Yom Kippur on Wednesday, and the Mishnah said, no, eat on Wednesday, fast on Thursday. Unbelievable. And you know what they said, the story, that they said to the Chazanish, but maybe you should be Machmir and not be allowed on Wednesday, because Yom Kippur comes to the rest of the world. So supposedly the Chazanish said, yeah, but it's actually Yom Kippur, it's a good thing to eat. So the Chazanish held that, right, but Beikar didn't. So like Rabbi tells Rav Moshe, he held that you follow Minhag HaMakom. It comes up, you know, you see, Hawaii happens to be that the Chazanish by Hawaii agrees that it's Saturday. It's only Rav Tukachinsky holds that Shabbos is on Friday in Hawaii. So if you're a Chazanishnik, like a Shecht or whatever, so then Hawaii, you don't have a conflict. You only have for the Chazanish, because the Chazanish held that Shabbos is Saturday in Hawaii, and Rav Tukachinsky held it was Friday. So those that are Machmir in Hawaii will already Thursday night not do Malacha until Sunday night. So.
Is that the general? Is that what do people generally do?
It depends who it is.
You can only see where in Hawaii is Chabad, right?
Correct, right. Who lives in Hawaii? Yeah, Chabad.
They just split up, but they keep it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
The minute, right.
It's a fascinating topic. We could spend the whole year on it again. Yeah, but Bezer Shem give a shiur in Yom Ha'atzma'ut. I'm on the Yom Ha'atzma'ut schedule for next Thursday. So I'm going to talk about it. Somehow it ties it into Yom HaTzmaut. You come to the Shia, you'll find out how it ties it to Yom HaTzmaut. Come, you'll see. Everything ties into the daylight, right? Somehow. Somebody has. I had a guy a shadow this year about someone crossing the dateline, you know, for going to mikveh, because how do you count the 7 days? When you know, I got that shiloh this year. That's something. And now Svira is a big shiloh about because you can lose a day, you can get a day. Rabbi Shippel told me that once during Svira he had to cross the date line, so he took a flight the other way, not to have to cross the date line around. You know, it's a longer flight. You know. I've never crossed the date line myself, to tell you the truth. But you never know. Okay. So. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you're behooved to do it. Maybe you should enjoy experience and just stay home. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, he made his original, you know, big sock. This one is a big socket. So if you cross the, say you're coming from China to America during Sphira, so you'll be ahead of them. So therefore you keep counting your counts. So if everyone's going to count 15, you're holding by 60, because you're already ahead of them. So you keep counting, and so that's half the finish. That's very big finish. And therefore he says, when it comes to Shavuos, so you have to keep Shavuos, but everyone else is holding my Erev Shavuos, and then I'm passing you to keep Shavuos and Erev Shavuos. And then the second day of, when everyone's keeping the first day of Shavuos, will be during Yom Kippur. And the third day, when everyone's keeping the second day, they use a weekday, but you can't do Malacha because it's no different like in Israel coming to America. But that was the Rebbe's psak. But most don't hold like this psak. But I will see what Daniel Foreman has to say. Yeah, Avada. Yeah, but Meikaradin. Yeah, but Meikaradin he held that you keep your own psak. Say somebody did it already. Yeah, well, right. I mean, people come from Australia across the dateline. And so what do they do when they come to Crown Heights for Yontif? For Shavuos?
Yeah,
There's a special minion on Erev Shavuos that davens the Yontif davening? Wow. I'd like to see that. They come, they mamish on Yontif, they mamish daven, take out Kriyas HaTorah. But it's not an accepted opinion. I mean, it's accepted if you're a Lubavitcher and you follow the Rebbe and all these things. But
last week, Chaim Eisenstein said this. He gave the drasha and he said the Svar Lecha is not based in Shavuos. So Shavuos should be Mano, even though your count is different. So if you're counting your own count, you might have fallen into the Shavuos with everybody else.
Yeah.
It's not what I'm saying, but he.
Because Shavuos doesn't say in the Chumash a date for Shavuos. You see, the other Yom Tovim is a date. Here it just says you count, and then you keep Shavuos. Okay, so that's 17. So Divrei Rambam means that he followed 17. Is that he followed one to keep Shemitah based on what the minhag told us. 18 is Tein Bir L'Hachras HaBeis Yosef is the reason why he passed it like the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. That Sherman said because that was the more Kubal side. That was the minhag told us. Then question 19, Tein Divrei Hasheris Yisrael, Masha Kosev Odos Kol HaChiburim Adam Arsha. So we saw that this is one of the days. Okay. Yeah, well, that was Michael was questioning that because he's saying that even they were Kubal maybe in certain countries, but in certain countries the Sheris Yisrael on page 4 here in the packet, Lubbed Gibel says that he thinks that all the things written, he says B'Shem HaBal Shem Tov Shekol HaChiburim Shehayu Ad HaMarsha V'Ad B'Chlal V'Beruach HaKodesh. So therefore, there can be multiple meanings. Like in Chumash, you have one pasuk that can have many meanings, and because it's Baruch HaKodesh, so then there are many levels, like Rosh Hashanah said, of interpretation. Things that are not Baruch HaKodesh, it was whatever the person had in mind, that's the meaning. A pasuk in Chumash is Baruch HaKodesh, so they can have multiple. So you want to say that all the things that were written from until from the Rishonim that could have multiple interpretations. Yeah, I mean,
it's nice to put that label on it in terms of the shapeless, but I mean, it's first to take it the wrong way. And,
yeah, okay.
Started sort of darshaning towards the Shulchan Aruch the way he wants to because he feels that it's going to.
Right, to yeah, right,
he
right.
He knows where you can end up.
Right.
If you read Shulchan Aruch.
Right, you can twist everything.
Yeah,
right, it's right, good, right.
It's
right.
The truth of it. Right.
Okay. And then we said the Maral's brother, the Vikuach Maim Chaim, the Maral's brother, that's question 20. So he wrote an attack on the Ramar, wrote a sefer called Toras Chatas, and that's like sort of like a Shulchan Aruch. Like, when we have the Ramah in our Shulchan Aruch, that's like just notes to the Mechaber. But here he wrote his own like Shulchan Aruch on like Yerodea topics and things like that. So he says that he doesn't think, he's against this concept of writing a halacha sefer. Meaning, in other words, you want to write a, this is the psak. Sif Aleph, Sif Beis, Sif Gimel. He says, why should anyone do that? Every Rav should learn the Indian himself and come to a psak. Why should there be a... In other words, he was against this whole concept of the Shulchan Aruch, basically. He says, why should anybody write a Shulchan Aruch? Everyone should learn the Gemara and the Rishonim, and then come with a psak. Why just because the Beis Yosef says, the Yosef Kara says this is the halacha, why should that be binding on everybody? So the Beis Yosef says he wanted to create an achdus in Klal Yisrael. He says no. Why? Just like he writes a mashal. He says like your mother, she cooks dinner, she likes the way she cooks. Everyone likes their own thing. So everyone should think it through themselves. Obviously, like Rav Shechter said, they have to be qualified. But, so the Rogatchover was the one who followed this idea. In other words, when the Rogatchover paskened the Shaila, the Rogatchover was the genius of geniuses. The Rebbe has smicha from the Rogatchover, right? The Lubavitcher Rebbe has smicha. Lubavitcher Rebbe was a big goon. It wasn't just, most people who do things that the Lubavitcher Rebbe do are good people, but they're not, the most learned. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe was great in his learning, and then he did all these other things also. But the Rogatchover was the genius of the generation. It's amazing, he wasn't so long ago. Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, he's the rabbi, the rabbi, I guess, emeritus, his son now is the rabbi, but in Young Israel, in Kew Garden Hills. And Rabbi Talmud Yisrael Goldberg told me that Rabbi Schoenfeld told him that he was in Austria at the hospital the day that the Rogatchover passed away. So you have somebody alive today who was who saw the Rogatchover. It was Rabbi Yosef Rose. Rabbi Blau's father-in-law, Rabbi Teitz also, but Rabbi Teitz is not alive anymore, the old Rabbi Teitz. Rabbi Blau's father-in-law, Rabbi Binyamin Blau's grandfather, knew the Rogatchover. So the Rogatchover, when he wrote a psak halacha, so he never quotes the Shulchan Aruch. That's not part of his, that's not part of, because he said, why should I quote the Shulchan Aruch? I learned the Gemara, just like the Shulchan Aruch learned the Gemara. I learned the Gemara too. And I have and he quotes Rambam, and then he comes to his own conclusions. And it's interesting that he was asked Shilist. See, today the Rogatchover is viewed as, he was a big genius, but not necessarily normative halacha from the Rogatchover. But you see, in the old days, not that way. Rav Moshe Bik Zatzal had a shaila in Mikvos. He sent it to the Rogatchover. The Rogatchover gave him a response. So the Rogatchover had this idea that the Vikuach Maim Chaim, of the Maral's brother, that he doesn't think that anyone should come up with a halacha compendium. Come up with a halacha compendium, keep it for yourself. So he says he doesn't think it was right that the Ramah wrote the Toras Chatas and all this idea that every one should, he didn't think that there should ever be a halakha compendium. You should, if you want to write your halakha opinion, so write the whole, you know, this, explain the sugya the way you understood it. Say, but to write, you know, sif aleph, this is the halakha, this is the halakha, this is the halakha, this is the halakha. Why should we follow anyone's halakha? So this concept of what he writes is not accepted in Judaism today. I mean, because we accept the Shulchan Aruch. Even though, like people point out, the Magen Avraham can argue, the Shach can argue, but the general misgeret of the Shulchan Aruch is accepted. Every once in a while, you know, maybe something not, but a psach here, psach there. I don't even know, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where this tshuva was written to Rav Teitz of Elizabeth, the old Rabbi Lau's father-in-law. This is the tshuva. The tshuva was about, this is a very good tshuva. And this was a big shaila that came up in the past and still comes up. Was the shaila about what? Whether a blind person can take a seeing eye dog into shul. Because it's a bizarion to have a dog in a shul. That's not considered covered of the basic kinesis, to have a dog in a shul. But if a person's blind, and that's the way he gets around, so do we say, park your dog outside and then come in? Or could he take the... So this was like big fights. They went to court on this. This was like big fights in shuls and people about. So Rav Moshe says, well, Lamaisa, we're Mekel, you know, you're really not supposed to speak in shul. And we do it. You know? Meaning, even when. Of course, you're not supposed to speak during the davening. That goes without saying, even though people do that too. But even after davening, the halacha is you're not supposed to speak. Today, that would be, you know, you wouldn't be friendly. If it, like, you're leaving shul, and the guy's sitting next to you, and you don't talk to him. You know, but strictly speaking, the halacha is you don't speak in shul. Not even, like, you know, how are you, how's everything? That's not considered alpidin permissible. But yet, we're makel on that. We're makel on that. So, because we assume that the shuls were made with a tanai. So even though the Shulchan Aruch says that the shuls are made of a tanai, that's only if the shul is no longer in use, then you can do things. But if the shul is still in use, the fact that it's made of a tanai, that you can say or do other things, and that's, the Shulchan Aruch says, so Rav Moshe says, oh, we don't follow the Shulchan Aruch over here. And we make all that the tanai helps even when the shul is still in use. So Rav Moshe says, once we make all that we allow, like in Shtiblach, they have a shalashudas in shul, they have a tikkun for a yortzeit in shul. You know, the big shuls, the Jewish centers of the Young Israels, they have a separate social hall where they have a kiddush or something like that. But in the small shtiebels, it's one room, and they do everything in that room. They have shalosh shudas in the room, they have a kiddush in the room, even though you're not supposed to eat in shul. But we assume that since the shuls were made with a condition, that it could be allowed. But even though the Shulchan Aruch says a condition doesn't help if it's a shul that's still functional. So Rav Moshe says, Minhag Yisrael is not to follow the Shulchan Aruch over here. And we say, so then Rav Moshe says, so once we allow eating in shul and talking in shul, I mean talking in shul when it's not during davening, and eating in shul, so then you can allow the dog in also. That was Rav Moshe's shita. So that's the Vikuach Ma'im Chaim. He didn't like the whole idea of a... Then question 21, Tein Divrei HaDvar Shmuel. The Dvar Shmuel said that... yes. Right, that's what we said, that's the concept of the Gemara. But maybe since not a wolf, I still accept it. Most of the problems, right.
I mean, it sounds
like the Taimanim, right? They follow the Rambam. I told you, with the Taimanim, when they say Tash,
yeah, Tash.
Alma Divrachu 7, Chayechon ubi Yerechon ubi Chaye, the Rav Moshe Bamana. That was the minig in Tamar. That was he was the man. So they followed the Rambam. So they didn't accept the Shulchan Aruch. So not everyone accepts the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, normative Judaism today.
What?
Right. But you're right. Lamaisa, the Ragachava is not the accepted Mahalach of Pesach. But he. I mean, I guess he thought that he had no less of a right to decide a halachic opinion than Rabbi Yosef Karo did. So today we don't assume we're like that. Okay. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll start with question 21. And tomorrow's Thursday, so... okay, so hopefully we're doing good. And Sunday, Al Chazid, Bez Hashem, the Halacha Shiurim, and the Inyan of the Yoma. So, okay.